views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tango Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is Friday, Financial Friday. It is March the 8th, 2019, and we have a live show for you today. Looking forward to bringing you that show. At any time, if you'd like to get in on a conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Would love to hear from you today. Have a lot to talk about on our live show. Pastor Keith is with us as well. I believe he's calling in to the show. Let me just open up another. Let me just see one thing. Whoops. 1 second off. Bear with me for a second. And that way I can be able to see the board. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number, and would love to hear from you on this Financial Friday. But before we get into the show itself, everyone, please continue to support or support Black Talk Radio Network. Your financial support is needed for us to stay on air. You can do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork, make a donation. But really what would benefit the network the most, if you would actually become a member in its social media platform for only $24 a year, and that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Excuse me, that's www.btrcommunity. Join the www.btrcommunity. Go there, and for only $24 a year, one time, $24 annually, you can actually become a member inside of this network social media platform, where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected by actually getting there. And in a membership, your overall information is not disclosed to the general population. It's only to members. Well, your actual blog or your actual profile is only viewable by those that are members. But with that, you can actually monetize that. You can actually develop a monetization program where you can actually sell your products, bring light to your business, bring light to what you do and other businesses, as well as other things that you think that need to be brought to the forefront and have more public exposure. You can do all of the social media activity things that you were able to do before on FedBook. You could do there, but in a more holistic way. And you won't be actually data mined in a way, and no one will sell your identity. So come on over to BTR Community, and for $24 a year, it supports the network, and you'll be able to engage in all of your social media activities. The only place where I actually post anything. So definitely something would love for you all to do, and that would definitely help the network. Also, You can actually, now's the time for you to exchange your cash for real money and a measure of savings in buying real money or acquiring real money, accumulating real money. You can do that at Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can actually exchange your currency for real money, and that's very, very, very important. That's what you should be doing. That's part of your preparations for a lot of things that's going on in this Financial Friday. We'll talk about some of those things. So please do that. But when you go there, go to www.prosperitymint.com, then email them at info@prosperitymint.com and tell them that you're a Tando Radio Show listener. Make sure you leave a number so that they can actually contact you. And in that, let me just tell you what it's going to be. I know this firsthand, and it will not be anything other than this. They're going to explain to you the proper way of acquiring the precious metals. Make sure you understand the buying process. And you may think, well, I don't need to know it. Yes, you do, because if you do it wrong, you will actually be quite disappointed later on. This is to maximize your benefit, okay? And that's the only thing they're going to explain to you. It's not going to be a service, a call for business. You're not going to get other sales calls from them and everything else. You won't. So definitely do that. It's to your benefit. And everyone that has done that, they were like, wow, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I did it. And so engage in that. All right. So we're going to get into what's in the news. Keith, you there? Keith? Give Keith a chance to unmute his phone. Let me unmute Keith. Well, I may not want to unmute Keith. He may be doing something. All right, Keith. I see you there. No biggie. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get into today's show. In today's show, Financial Friday. One second. Let me shut this down so I won't have that noise interruption. Sorry about that, everyone.
Hey, can
that
you hear
didn't
me?
Happen. Yeah, hey, Keith, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing today?
Good. So glad to have you on board. I just wanted to make sure that you were there.
I am.
Okay, great. Hold on, everyone. I messed something up. Let me see if I can fix it. Yeah, there it is. All right, I'm fixing. Excuse me. All right. So we're going to jump into what's in the news. So let's do that. Okay, today, Financial Friday, going dark when the lights go out. Please have your own. What's that, Keith?
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. So today's Financial Friday show is going dark when the lights go out. Please have your own. So definitely that's what's really starting to happen. We're going to jump into what's in the news. And first article that we got from RT International, Venezuela blames sabotage and U.S. electrical war. U.S. electricity war. After major power outage, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro accused the U.S. of waging an electricity war against his country as the country and other cities were plunged into darkness Thursday night. The government says the incident is likely sabotage. Yes, and there's actually been called for destabilization. This whole thing, I'm telling you, the Venezuelan situation is going to really, really, really get much, much, much more involved, and I actually think that it will be one of the deciding factors in World War III expansion and going into global nuclear war one, which I don't think that the U.S. will be have any form of victorious accomplishments in that war. It will actually, to me, will lead to the untied states of America. So there, Venezuela lights were all cut out basically in the whole country. So hopefully you all would be ready for that, not only for the lights going out, but the financial lights going out, more importantly, as well. So check out that article. Next article from Press TV. House passes an anti-hate bill after anti-Semitic row. The House of Representatives, it was basically, they came up with this, and it's crazy. And I'm going to tell you in real quick before we go, this is all a plot and a ploy. The United States House of Representatives have passed a resolution condemning bigotry and hatred after backlash from a number of factors across the Democratic Party forcing changes to its bill that originally focused on anti-Semitism remarks about Israel by Muslim American Congressman Omar. And let me tell you this. The comments and all were just on Sunday last week, and they already got a resolution for it. This is, boy, it's a setup. Here's what I'm going to say about this, and this is a huge use of setup behind it.
Hey, Dave, yeah, they put it on hold because they've been getting some pushback, man. I was surprised, you know, because she is a black person. She's part of the Congressional Black Caucus, man. We're getting feedback off of Keith Line. Keith, you ain't got it. Okay. James Clyburn, I believe he's out of South Carolina. You know, she's part of the Congressional Black Caucus. And they're saying, they're pushing back against it and saying they not going to vote for it. And so it's been put on hold, but they've been defending her, which I was surprised. I was like, it's about time they got some backbone, you know, because they pretty much kowtowed to whatever Democratic leadership, whatever, you know, way they tell them, you know, to vote. That's usually what they do. But they're like, no, this ain't anti-Semitism. We're talking about a nation. And now James Clyburn, they trying to say he made some I mean, they just basically lying on what he said the same way they're lying about what she said. Clyburn said, look, if your grandparents was in the Holocaust, you know, that don't afford you no special privileges today. Meaning that, okay, we got some people over there in Israel whose grandparents or maybe parents, you know, and there's very few Holocaust survivors around, but hey, just because your parents suffered, hey, ain't that what they tell black people? Get over slavery. Just because your great-great-great-grandparents was in. And I don't see anything wrong with what he said, but they're saying, twisting his words around, saying that he said that Holocaust survivors don't get no special privilege. And again, though, what kind of special privilege do they? They got reparations, you know, but what makes them special above anybody else that suffered or suffering, you know? So, I mean, the swamp is totally in spin mode. And, I mean, it's just fascinating to see these people just straight up lie like that, man, about what's being said and who is being said about. And, again, like I said yesterday, Israel is a nation. When I talk about an American-Israeli super PAC, that ain't got nothing to do with Jews. That had to, hey, are some of them Jews? Yeah, but that's immaterial. She's criticizing the nation.
Right. Well, she was rightfully criticizing the two nations, the relationship that the two nations have that is actually illegal. And it's actually illegal. And she was absolutely right. She's basically saying that lobbyists are causing for this country to have an alliance to another country through lobbying. And she's absolutely right, meaning that it has negative influence where they're serving the overall benefit of another nation and actually sacrificing the nation and the taxpayers that should be actually benefiting from that. And she was absolutely right what she said. And the whole thing is that basically what they're doing is they're trying to say, if you say anything against Israel, it's classified as anti-Semitic. And that's what they're trying. And this is the purpose of this whole thing. It has nothing really to do with Israel. None of this is just the backdrop. Now, the House is in, and this is in Congress, and it's on a fast track. It's on a fast track in Congress because of the collapse of the United States. Here's what they're really doing. They're trying to say that you can never speak against. See, first they say Israel, then they're going to say the United States. Now you can never speak against the United States. It will be you will be committing a crime. That's what this is really all about. That's the setup. That's the devil in the details. Because they're changing, like they're making new definitions of things that aren't true. And they're doing that because they want to have more control. And that's what this is really all about. And I didn't really get to express that yesterday. But they're using this to springboard the nefarious agenda that's coming behind it. They're basically saying they're actually trying to make a law that actually goes against someone's Bill of Rights, the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights, the freedom of speech. That's what they're really doing. They're writing a new constitution is what they're trying to subversively do. And we have to be keen to that. It's not what it always appears to be. It's always what the objective really is. Look at what the objective is, not always the method. And that's what this is really all about. And it's going to cross-pollinate into everything. So check out that article from Press TV. The U.S. House passes an anti-hate bill after anti-Semitic row. Check out that. Very, very significant, very powerful what it was. And the keys is that they're fast-tracking this. They've been trying to do this for a while. And this is true. What Omar said was absolutely true. It doesn't matter what the overall country is at nation. You can't do those. They're allowing lobbyists to set policy that benefits another nation in this nation. The Constitution actually forbids that. It actually forbids that. She's right. But the overall reason why you have this celebritizing in this put this way is because there's an agenda that's behind this whole thing. And that's why you see it on the fast track. Same thing. They have an MO. All criminals have a modus operandi, how they operate. There's nothing changed. So check out that article. Next article. Got this one from, excuse me. We picked this one up from Bloomberg. U.S. banks shuts. One second. Let me let this populate. Very important one. As a matter of fact, let me just, and this goes along with our Financial Friday show. Very, 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 very important that we take a look at this. Let me just close something really quickly. Okay, here we go. One sec. Sorry, everyone. Okay, here we go. This is from Bloomberg. Bloomberg News. One second, waiting for the article to populate. Let me see if I can just so I can get it to you all. Okay, here we go. Bloomberg News it was the other day. It was from the finance section. JP Morgan Chase leads banks flight from poor neighborhoods. The biggest banks are closing more branches in lower income areas. Industry cuts number of locations in the age of online banking. We're going to come back and touch this because this is a very, very significant article and what it really is to me, what is actually trying to be said here is significant that we need to pay close attention to because this one will adversely affect every single person listening to this show today in one way or another. So check that out. We'll take a look at that later. It's going to be a part of today's show. Next article. This one comes from the Korean Times. Artificial tremors detected in North Korea mining town. Basically, North Korea has re-engaged their overall nuclear testing. Here it comes, y'all. It's going to be back. The seismic activity. That seismic activity was probably done from the testing of a nuclear device. So check out that article. That's what's being said there. Next article from Bloomberg. As well, this one was from the politics side. Pence asked merger by sending warships to Crimea. This article goes along with what I said that it was a smart move by Germany earlier this week when they met, they sent their ambassador to meet Guaido in Venezuela in Caracas to when he's on his way back in. I thought that was a masterful move that they did there. And the reason being is right here. Pence asked Merkel to provoke Russia by sending warships to Crimea. What Germany did, in my opinion, was that they wanted Venezuela to kick them out so that they wouldn't have a part in this whole thing. And that's actually what happened. That was because they were against Maduro, they have to be subversively and quietly in support of Maduro. And the best way to do that is to be kicked out of the nation. Smart, smart move, because they knew what the overall U.S. policy towards Russia and China is going to be. It's going to be an aggressively militarized one. So Pence asked Merkel to provoke Russia by sending warships to Crimea. This kind of these two, that the article from yesterday and today go together. U.S. push for operations in the straits between Crimea and Russia. Episodes highlight the transatlantic Russian tensions in the region. The U.S. has leaned on German Chancellor, celebrity figurehead German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who, in my opinion, she kind of favors, like she may have some relationship kin to Hitler. She kind of looks like they kin to me. That's just my opinion. Last month, to conduct naval maneuvers in Russia's backyard aimed at provoking Vladimir Putin, according to three people familiar with the talks. So they're trying to get Germany to stir up the pot with Russia. Don't think that's going to happen. Very, very significant there. Speaks a lot to as to what's going on. Next article from the orientalreview.org. Default or exit. A battle between Italy and the EU is inevitable. This is the global economy. This is the war that's going to be happening. Huge, huge things going on there. Check out that article. Next article from RT International. Calling Dr. Strangelove. The threat of nuclear war can't prevent World War III forever. Very, very true. And in today's world, World War III has already started, and nuclear exchange is a part of the future, in my overall estimation and opinion. It will be done by tactical nukes, and they will be on the overall global nuclear war one. For the first time, I think that you'll have countries exchanging nuclear armament, detonation of nuclear arms against each other in offensive and defensive military conflict. This will be the first time in modern history. Has it been done before in the past? Yes, I definitely believe so. And the earth wears the scars of that in certain parts of the world, like in India and other places that actually show that there was actually probably nuclear wars or nuclear exchange or radioactive isotopes were used as a form of weaponry. And the actual scars of is still there on the earth. So nothing new, but definitely this is very true. The threat of nuclear war can't prevent World War III forever. So, so true. Well, well stated, and I think that's coming. Next article from CBS Local, criminal broadcast station Local. Senator's Foreign Relations Committee holds hearings on Venezuela. And Rubido was calling all for the U.S. to up its overall destabilization in Venezuela, which is an all-out act of war by them calling this. This is and is a violation of U.N. Charter for countries to be calling for the overall ousting and the coup of another nation. And that's what they're doing now. And this whole thing is going to continue to expand, and now they're being more active in Venezuela. I don't see that slowing down at any time. Next article, this one comes from Bloomberg as well, in the part of the war paradigm, and this one is Bloomberg from the politics side. U.S. sees a rise in Chinese military activity in the South Sea of China, and I definitely anticipate that the overall war is going to expand, and the South Sea of China is a very, very critical place that that is going to definitely happen. So check out that article, real, real important one. And this was U.S. sees the rise in China's military activity in the South Sea of China. See, it's crazy. One second, you all. Sorry about that. One sec. Sorry, you all. Okay, didn't want to have this. So funny, South Sea of China and the U.S. is interfering in that whole thing. That won't be lasting for long, ladies and gentlemen. And that is one of the points of contention that is going to be huge. Next article, this one got from The Diplomat. U.S. Air Force flies U.S. Air Force flies B-52H bombers over the east and the South Sea of China, and, you know, just being provocative towards towards China, and that is going to definitely go into a more all-out confrontation, and so we need to be prepared for that. Check out that. Next article, this is from LinkedIn. Chinese handcuffs, part two, the risk of military confrontation. This is an older article, but it goes along with everything that's going on there in the South Sea of China, which will be one of India and Pakistan is one, Syria is another, Iran is another contention point. The Ukraine is a contention point. Djibouti is a contention point. Venezuela is a contention point. The Korean Peninsula is a contention point. Alaska is a contention point. Eastern Europe is a contention point. Europe is a contention point. The South Sea of China is a contention point. And Taiwan is a contention point where the U.S. will be engaging in military operations against Russia, China, and all of their allies, and the U.S. and its two allies, probably being some of NATO initially, then NATO turning on the U.S. and actually engaging in confrontation. And all of these things are boiling to a point of all-out contention, and actually the fighting has already started, and it will not subside. It will continue to grow. Next article from the South China Morning Post. India signs a $3 billion nuclear-powered submarine deal with Russia. The U.S. is going to be fit. This is why India is getting attacked. Next article from CNBC, very important one. Dollar Tree to close up to 390 family dollar stores and report a $2.3 billion loss. This is how the overall everyday person's economy is going to be collapsing here. The banks are leaving, the store, the retail stores are leaving, the opportunity for people to have the measures and means to provide for themselves are being suffocated. So check out that article. Very, very, very important. Okay, next article. This one is from naturalnews.com. With U.S. farm debt now at a crisis level, the AOC warns to ban all tractors and combines with farm equipment that runs on combustible engines. So there are, this is all a setup, and this is all under the auspices of people trying to go green. The U.S. warns U.S. farm debt now at crisis level. Radical leftist AOC wants to ban all tractors. Move this down. Tractors, combines, and farm equipment that runs on combustible engines. And this is a, you know what, let me tell you what the whole lie of this global warming is the very institutions, the very cause of the propaganda the propaganda of global warming is all done based off of pollution. And the actual controllers are the ones that are polluting, and they're saying it's the actual, it's the people that are doing it. And this is all, once again, this is Environmental warfare against every single person. Global warming, you got to think about what they're saying. They're saying just because you're breathing is causing an adverse effect on the general population,
AJ.
Meaning that they are going to want to depopulate the planet. There is global changes, weather changes. It's a natural process of the overall planet. But in how that works is not what they're teaching and telling people. But go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah. You know, I don't really have a position on that. I know something is happening. I know polar ice caps is melting. One is about to break off now, and sea level's going to rise. As far as the cause, you know, I'm not a scientist. This is not my area that I spend a whole lot of time researching because, you know, I can only do what's in my power to do. And you know, for people, let me put it this way. Whether you believe in global warming or not, there is global wars that's going on because of fossil fuels. And it, to me, it's
right.
A good thing to get off the fossil fuels. Because they're not sustainable. So pretty soon, you know, the
right.
Earth is going to stop producing the oil. Then what you going to do? So whether you believe in global warming or not, global warring is a very serious problem that's going on. And most of that warring is behind, you know, fossil fuels, oil, or gas, for combustible
yep.
engines. And, you know, we did the show where we did the report. Remember, Dave, Australia has this hydrogen-powered car now?
Mm-hmm.
And where can... Yeah. Where,
yeah.
What, was it hydrogen or something? Ammonia. Ammonia-powered car.
Ammonia,
And that's like an unlimited resource of ammonia because all we got to do is save our pee, you know?
Yep.
So that's what I say, Dave.
Yep.
To me, when they come talking about getting off of fossil fuels and they tie it to global warming... You know, I understand there are skeptics out there, but, you know, my main concern is the global warring that's going on.
Yeah. And, Scotty, and I'm glad that you put it that way because that's exactly how I feel. Because, see, the overall, the fossil fuels, one of the things about the fossil fuels is that that's pretty much a lie. The thing about that is this, is that the Earth, just like our blood, our bodies create and produce blood. If you take too much blood out of your body, the capillaries, the veins, and the organs start to collapse. They start to shake and everything else. Well, when you take too much oil out of the earth, which is its blood, because it functions pretty much the same way that the blood in our bodies function, because the earth is a living planet, and the oil is the blood. This is why blood transfusions keeps other people alive, because you can use it as energy, the energy factor of it. So when we start to take too much of the earth's blood out of it, it quakes and everything else. And they're not telling you the truth about this whole thing. And the thing, and it's so true, but it's the global warming for fossil fuels that's one of the problems that happens. And I'm with you 100%, because everything that we're being told is a lie. And if we know that everything that the system puts out is a lie, if we respond to it that way, and we can kind of find out, well, what is the measure of truth? Now, does the Earth go through cycles with the overall, with the atmosphere and the weather? Absolutely. Does climate change, global climate change and global warming happen? Absolutely. But a lot of it is artificial through technology and through global warring as well. And the global warring is that they have created, and it's not really that difficult to do. They have the overall capability to ionize the atmosphere, to change the weather patterns. So whenever they say global warming and weather changes, yeah, a lot of it is artificially done. It's not the natural pattern of the Earth. Here's what's very, very critical about and the lie with they say with their over what the propaganda of global warming is. Number one, they say that the air is the problem, one of the main problems. Well, the actual atmosphere and weather patterns are not determined by the air temperature. It's determined by the amount of water and the water evaporation into the atmosphere. There's more water on the earth than there is land. So the density of the water coming from through evaporation by way of the sun is critical. Now, can you destroy the ozone layer and the stratospheres and all of that? Yes, with chemicals and everything else, yes. But who is really doing that? And for what reason? These are the lies that get you to tax you. Then they come up with a carbon footprint, a person's carbon footprint. Every person that lives has a carbon footprint. Every living entity has a footprint, an ecological footprint. But what they say is that yours is demonstrous, so that they have to tax you and they go to have to do this war and that war. They never talk about the ones that are really malevolently impacting the environment. That's not what they're trying to restrict or to end. They're trying to end you from breathing. That's really what it is. And this is why they outwardly call for depopulation. It's all a setup. It's bad, but we need to know these things. Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
Dave. You know.
Yes, go ahead, Keith.
What it is, you know, there's a term that our ancestors used to use a whole lot more than we do. But it's a simple term, and the term is simply common sense. Now, with this global warming thing, we don't want to use common sense. Your first article when it talks about denouncing all the farm equipment using gasoline. There's a balance to everything. And what is happening is, like you said, with depopulation, it all comes down to greed, money, the bottom line. And they want to sacrifice common sense to do everything on that total extreme of whatever end it is that they're doing it on. And you said something. To fix these problems are not hard. They're really not. And it doesn't take a whole lot. Again, if you look at, there's enough to do with green energy and have gasoline and then let it work its way out. But no, we don't want to do that. We want to completely ban green energy. We're completely ban oil instead of letting the balance work itself out. And it comes down to what you said, depopulation, which still comes down to greed, which still comes down to the bottom line, and it still comes down to a few of the minority becoming uber rich at the peril of everybody else.
Yeah, and you know, Keith, I'm glad you said it, because it's like what Scotty was alluding to, that there's an opportunity for us to get away from actually destroying something in order to provide for energy. See, it's the destruction that actually happens with the energy impact that's used now, preferably used now. We can actually elevate ourselves from a class zero society. A class zero society has to kill to harvest energy for themselves because they choose to. A class one and a class two, class one society means that you're able to use without killing the natural abilities of your atmosphere and your planet to sustain you to get sustenance. A class two society is able to use the energy force in the universe without destroying or killing everything. There's a collective prudence that you need to have. They don't want to have that, because if you have that, then there is no need for any person to work for another person on this planet. That would mean that would really be the end of enslavement. Think about if you were completely sustainable. All of your physical needs were actually available to you at your will. It would change your psyche on everything. Your stress levels would leave completely. You wouldn't see a need for a war. You wouldn't see a need for this, because all of your needs would be done. You wouldn't want a lot of the things that you're fighting for and trying to grasp for now. This is an economic thing as well, because it's about money. Money has intrinsic value to sustain your life. And, you know, as a class one society or a class two society, there's no need for you to kill any living thing or harm any living thing for you to be able to engage in all of your physical human needs. Everything is supplied for. And if you have your own resources and you can have your own needs taken care of, what need would you have for a boss? None. What need would you have for a watch to tell you what time it is? None. Because eternity and eternity takes precedence. Time is something that's used to manage you. It's a measure of control. So, man, very, 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 very important. We could spend a whole show on that one, which we will do. We need to move into sustainable universal energies that do not require that we become a serial killer in order to get what we want, not even a measure of what we need. That has to be tempered. It must be tempered. So check out that article. Next article. This one from the South China Morning Post. China tells the U.S. to mind its own business over Italy's Belt and Road plans. Uh-oh, guess what that means? All of a sudden, Italy's going to get hit with something. Watch. Watch. Never fails. They tell you everything. Next article. Next article. This one comes from debtcollapse.com. How to build a financial freedom so that you aren't left lacking when the stuff hits the fan. Check out that article. Very, very important. Next article, use it or lose it budget. And from investmentwatchblog.com. Now, let me just say this about this use it or lose it budget. How the government works is that you use it, your budget, or you lose it. That actually perpetuates consumerism and fraud. Because what they're doing is that they're trying to hide and cover the tracks for what's being stolen from the everyday person through their labor, and their labor having their labor generates the overall tax revenue and income that is being stolen from them. Austerity isn't really the problem. It's austerital fraud that's everything in this nation, in the most of the governments. It's the austerital fraud, not austerity measures. It's the austerital fraud and theft that the general population needs to make notice of. So the use it or lose it is budgets, how they run budgets in the states is austerital fraud and theft. Very, very important. Next article, this one comes from Stephen Ledman. U.S. draft resolution falsely equates the criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism. So check out that. Right. That's just all wrong. It's a setup, y'all. It's a setup. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for that through that overall, the overall traps. What they're really doing is they're setting up to where you won't be able to actually criticize, and that's a big thing for alternative media such as this network and people that want to bring about real change for themselves and decide when you criticize, that's going to be against the law. It's actually already written in the NDAA and the Patriot Act as well. Now they're just starting to execute it, and they're going to now legalize it, which is going to change the overall Bill of Rights situation.
Hey, Dave.
See, that's the thing about... Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Again, you know, people don't pay attention to the people activity area of politics, and then, you know, something gets passed into law, you don't even know about it until you've been arrested for it, you know? And so, like, you know, I had been writing about and blogging about this combating BDS bill. And I'm like saying, wait a minute. I don't care if you care about the Palestinian people or not. That's besides the point. The fact that the U.S. government, through the Senate, Marco Rubio introducing a bill called Combating BDS, which says that, hey, if you have a company and you're looking to get a U.S. government contract or a state contract, hey, if you're participating or promoting, boycotting, divesting, or sanctioning Israel because of its human rights violations, then we will punish you by not allowing you to have those contracts. That's an attack on the First Amendment. The NAACP versus this hardware company, I forget the hardware company's name, but the Supreme Court ruled on the NAACP was doing boycotts of local white businesses. I think it was in Alabama, because a cop had shot this black teenager, and they weren't getting any justice. So they was like, until we get some justice, until, you know, basically we control the police force, we're boycotting all these businesses. So those businesses led by that hardware company took them to court and sued them, you know, saying that they had cost them all this money and whatnot. And the Supreme Court ruled 8-0 that the First Amendment covers boycotts. Economic boycotts are a form of political speech. And so here we are in 2019, and this is case law. This is case law. Here we are in 2019 with 20, almost 30 states with anti-BDS legislation, and now I'm working through the Senate. And I'm like, where's the NAACP Legal Defense Fund? This is something y'all fought for a long time ago and affirmed the right, you know, it's really a human right, but, you know, that you can participate in economic boycotts to point out injustices in society, in the world or whatnot. And I mean, they like sitting over there like, oh, we don't care. You know, nobody cares.
Right.
You know, and it's just sad, man.
It is, Scotty, and it's like you said, this is why I think that this network is so important. I try to focus on some things, and other people focus on them. Our collaborative efforts should give an opportunity for people to make choices from having a better selection of things that are happening and giving a different opinion, and then let them decide what it is, and it's so important. Now, I've already said that I'm a political atheist. I believe all of them are worthless. But you still need to know what's going on so that you can, because this is all the setup. See, what they do is that they live by, see, there's the letter of the law, then there's the spirit of the law. I always think that it's in the best interest of everyone to live under their primary, absolute, unalienable rights that were given to them individually and collectively by the creator that created them, and it had nothing to do with the individual people that's around you that control you. They have to write everything down. They have to write the letter of the law, and the letter of the law is always to condemn every single person, to condemn them to being subjugates to the writer of the law, when the great creator has the spirit of the law. The spirit is what lives. And that provides for you, even if you don't even accept it. But what you can do is that you can hinder the full benefits of it by your free will. Case in point, the spirit of the law is that the air is already there for you to breathe in order for it to burn the energy in your body for your body to be able to sustain and host the spirit in you physically for that period of time. Once the body can't do that and stops doing it, the spirit leaves the body. That is given to you without a cost. But see, what man is always going to do, man requires you to pay for your birthright. That's the letter of the law, to tax you for it. And that's why everything that man does systematically through the system is a lie and is meant to be a measure of control of you. We got to do something different. So,
hey, Dave.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Keith.
Also, I think that without a doubt, our system is corrupt and it's heading towards a path of destruction. But even with that being said, whether you are behind our political system or not, to know what is going on is not enough. We still have to participate in the system. Because like what Scotty was saying, look, they're doing all these things, and the reason why all these things are being done so easily, I'm not saying we can stop them per se, but the reason they're being done so easily is because people have taken an attitude of complacency, and they feel as though I'm not participating in that. Well, not participating in the system is killing us, and it's killing us quickly. You know, some of the things that Scotty was saying, where they're talking about the Constitution and stuff. You know, look at what ICE is doing. Look at what the Border Patrol is doing. Look at the way they're taking out the rights and everything else. Look, I sent out a thing the other day. Now, I haven't validated this, but I just saw a thing that said Chicago's trying to make it legal. I mean, trying to make it a felony for you to record police officers. Now, I don't doubt for a hot second that that's what they're trying to do. But if you just take a second and analyze the absurdity of that, it's unreal. But it's everybody just sit back and nobody is doing anything about it. It's about to come about. It's about to come about quickly. It's unconstitutional. But if nobody's participating in this, what difference does that make?
Yeah, you're right. And you know, the House resolution and that one go hand in hand. You're seeing draconian measures and tactics being actually pushed upon the people more and more and more. And it is incumbent upon the people to see what the trick is, but this isn't the only trick. There's a whole slew of tricks that have to be nullified by this. We can't give our energy to it. There is no law that man can write that is immoral that any man should obey. There is no immoral law that man could ever write that any other man should ever obey. It actually should be purposely nullified in a method in operation in method and procedures to not only uproot it but to ever and put it in such a climate that it could never ever feed itself again. It has to be more than challenged. It has to be de-energized. Take the life from it. Because it's your life that is actually being taken to support it. We must change the way we engage. So check out that. Next article. This one comes from Sputnik News. Admiral accuses Beijing of militarizing South Sea of China after naval encroachment. Once again, that's going to blow up. Next article from Press TV. Iran foils pirates' attack on an oil tanker in the Gulf of Aden. Here we go. Remember what Israel said earlier this week, yesterday, and what the overall propaganda is right now to destabilize it. That's going to cause for a war. Check that out. Next article from RT International, world's largest sovereign wealth fund in Norway to dump oil stock. Why are they dumping oil stocks? Because Norway knows what's coming down the pipe. In a war, oil reserves is what's necessary, not oil paper. Not paper oil. Paper is not going to do you any good when these things come about. So check out that. Next and last one from Sputnik News, urgent. Schools, workday suspended in Venezuela over major power outage. They are trying to invoke a coup. Next article, this one comes from itsoul24or.com. And this one, you got to actually right-click it into English. And this one is very important. And it says in English at 24or, 24 ore is at 20. That's a play on 24-karat gold. Okay, ore is the Latin word for gold. So 24 ore is the name of the website. Here it is. Banks. The return of the gold standard, gold in financial statements becomes money. Huge. And we're going to take a look at that. You won't find this in the U.S. You won't find this in the U.S. Very, very, very significant and important. So, and last one, this is from Yahoo. State by state, more gun ownerships equals more mass shootings, a study shows. Really? I would say the play on that is absolutely wrong, and we'll address that at some other time. So that's what's in the news. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. We covered a lot there, a lot to cover in today's show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. So please, definitely engage in that. You're listening to, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Scotty, give me about 2 minutes. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. 3 minutes, Scotty. Listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Land of the free, it lies the home of the homeless. Too many die every day, and we really just want this freedom.
People, just know until we walk into the gates of the kingdom, we gon' stand here united, ready to fight for our freedom.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'd love to hear from you, definitely. And my man, Roz, if you're around and you can do it today, I don't know, you may be preoccupied and busy. Call in as well, bruh. And I may be returning back to the East Coast real soon, so I definitely want to hook up with you. I didn't get to do that. So, Roz, give me a call either after the show or during the show. We'd love to talk to you real quick as well. All right, so here we go. Financial Friday, going dark when the lights go out. Please have your own. And there's a couple of significant things here. And where do I start? It's so much, but we're going to start with Venezuela, some parts of Venezuela. The lights went out there. They actually, and it is all by sabotage, and there's going to be sabotage that's going to happen all over the place to move in this overall war paradigm, we need to know. But there's an article that I specifically want to spend some time with and some things that I want to talk to you about that have a very direct, significant impact on you. And this was one article that I wanted to give some time to and some thought to for you all, because I want you to have a position of preparedness. You know, there's a lot of different preparedness things and that may tell you what to do. I've taken a different approach because there are every person's situation is different geographically, where they are, their needs, their objectives, their methods. So some of the basic things are easy, but I like to give people the overall thought process or to look at some things as to why they need to be prepared. And being a person that rather to be prepared, I have a saying: never scared, always prepared. Have a plan for some of the things that could be brought, opportunities or adversities that could actually face you, that you could face. Very important that you take on that responsibility before they happen is probably the most proactive way to ensure that the outcome will be more favorable or closer to what you would want to happen and how you script it out. You may absolutely be able to completely script something out or cause for the next set of events to be exactly what you want, or at least you'll be in a position where you are able to protect yourself much better than what you would otherwise had if you didn't know. So that's what preparing is all about. It's about being prudent. It's about being self-sufficient, self-determining. It's about being self-sufficient, self-determining. I can't really emphasize that enough. It's about you being sovereign. It's about you appreciating who you are and abilities that have been given to you, your talents, your money. It's about you protecting that. Very important. So there's an article out of Bloomberg that was from a couple of days ago, on Wednesday. Didn't have the show Wednesday, and so I wasn't able to bring this to you all, but we're going to talk about it now. And this is from the finance section of Bloomberg. JP Morgan Chase leads bank's flight from poor neighborhoods, is the headline. It says the biggest banks closing more branches in low-income areas. Industry cuts numbers of the industry has cut number of locations in the age of online banking. So let me just stop there. Here's a key thing. Well, let me just first read this. Okay? in Washington. Move this down. Aberdeen, Washington is a far northwest outpost of J.P. Morgan Chase, with one lonely branch perched near the Pacific, 2,900 miles away from Wall Street. Now the bank is planning to depart the rainy timber town that gave the word Kurt Cobain. I guess that was the leader of the band. I can't remember. Cobain. Forget whatever it was. The next closest Chase branch is 40 miles away. At the same time, J.P. Morgan plans to open 70 branches in the vicinity of other Washington towns, the wealthy national's capital, among the newest locations in Virginia, the 25 richest towns in the United States. These two different communities are in fact part of the same story. For years, the national largest banks have been shrinking their vast branch network. They've been cutting back faster in relatively poor neighborhoods than in more affluent ones. Even with the spread of online banking, J.P. Morgan Chase and its rivals have said storefronts remain a critical part of their growth. The bank said they are committed to serving all their customers regardless of income, a requirement of the Community Reinvestment Act. Small businesses. Yet, consumer advocates warn that the closing risk widens the wealth gap by leaving scores of low-income areas with less competition for service, such as personal checking, small business lending. A 2014 study by MIT economists find that even with other banks nearby, branch closures in low incomes and minority neighborhoods have made it harder for local businesses to get loans. Bank branches are a critical part of financial access. A policy advocate for the Center of Responsible Lending. The argument that we all live in this digital society, so we don't need bank branches, is completely false. No major bank exemplifies the industry trends for leaving low-income areas better than J.P. Morgan. National expansion is what the next title is. The biggest U.S. banks announced a plan a year ago to spend billions to open 400 branches, boost lending, and national expansion that would extend the lending profile to new states for the first time in decades. In the 13 months through January, J.P. Morgan has applied to open 185 new branches, with 71 of them in more affluent areas. The banks in the time have given notice to regulators of his intentions to shut 187 branches, about half of those in neighborhoods where household incomes is below the national median of $60,000, according to Bloomberg analysts for the regulatory and U.S. Census data. J.P. Morgan retreats from poorer areas of Manhattan and Bronx, and it shows the different closures and the different openings. There was 6 closures and 3 openings. And they gave the household median. They basically, in Washington Heights, home income was $53,000. Broadway in 149th. Talking about the Harlem area somewhat, $44,000. The Gateway Center at the Bronx, $26,000, closed. Broadway in 86th Street, Broadway in 96th Street. Now you're talking about, it's higher there, but you're talking about from there on, you're starting to getting up into Upper Manhattan. It's $82,000. They're closing that. Madison Ave in East 82nd Ave. No, excuse me. Madison Avenue in East 88th Street is 111,000. They closed the branch there. Hudson Yard is 85. They opened up a branch. 8th Avenue and 23rd. I believe that's the Chelsea area, is 123,000. And Madison Ave and 47th Midtown is 118. They opened areas there. And then in Chinatown, in Lower Manhattan, at 106, they closed a branch there. So it just shows what they were doing just in Manhattan, some of the things that they were doing in Manhattan. J.P. Morgan spokesman said, a national view of the data is screwed. It's skewed because it assumes that families' income in all of the communities is the same. In our footprint, Chase has significantly more branches and more deposits in low to moderate income neighborhoods than other competitors, Pace said in the email. Even when we consolidated branches, we continued to grow market share in those neighborhoods in the vast majority of the cases. The next closest branch is less than 2 miles away. J.P. Morgan said it prefers a measures that extend states where it does not have the presence. But by that measure, the firm had 26% of its branches in low-income and moderate-income areas, while Wells Fargo and Bank of America Corporation each had 29. According to the data from J.P. Morgan, in response to questions from Bloomberg, J.P. Morgan says 30% of its new branches will be in such communities, up from earlier pledges of at least 20%. Now, let me just say, now why are we reading this and what's the significance here? The thing is that there is a flight of all of the banks from low to moderate incomes. I don't know if you noticed that. And here's why that's so significant. One, that means that businesses aren't going to be there. Businesses are going to actually service where people have access to business transactions so that they can actually facilitate and patronize their overall establishments. It's difficult. Think about one of the things, and I don't think that this is just going to be right now, I don't think that this is just going to be in the lower incomes and moderate incomes. They're going to always sacrifice those first. But what you're going to see is that you're going to see the shrinkage of branches in all neighborhoods going forward. But it's going to negatively impact our neighborhoods first. Here are some of the impact of that that's very, very important that I want to share with you. One, when you don't have access to the bank branches, think about it. They're going to push, and they're going to be pushing for online banking. Online banking, you cannot withdraw anything from your computer. And if the banks aren't there and you wanted to have a medium to respond to a threat or to respond to something in an emergency, the bank branches won't be there if pulling cash out was one of part of your overall preparedness tactic. This is moving to, not only is this moving to, this is a part of the move to cashless society. Because think about in Venezuela, how they had all of their lights cut out. If you don't have the branches, it makes you much more vulnerable to minimize your access to respond to anything. And one of the things is that if it's all by computer, where you can't go in, present your ID and everything else, and present yourself to withdraw, is all done from a computer. I don't know of any computer that's like an ATM machine that it kicks out cash to you right away. It doesn't do it. So this is going to start and be impactful in the minority and low-income communities, and it's going to grow everywhere. And if you notice about the banks, you can notice something. There's fewer and fewer of them pretty much everywhere. I get the overall, the number of bank failures on one Financial Friday from the FDIC since the number of failures since 2000. The number was so darn high, it's ridiculous. It was, 1 second. The number of bank failures since 2000, it was darn near 4,000 branches that had been closed. And there's actually, you could go to FDIC and look at bank failures and look at how many have failed in their closing dates. And you can see how many banks. And what does this really mean? This, you're looking at a economic standing of a country that's in peril. That's in absolute peril. These are all the signs that are displayed here for you. To let you know that things are getting better. Things are getting to the point where you have to be completely consciously aware of what's happening and have the proper response for it. Remember the story that we talked about last year, where the major banks were telling all of the little banks that they better have a consolidation before there's a depositor's run on the bank, before there's a flight of depositors' flight. So the bigger banks were basically saying to the little banks, hey, you better sell to us now. And this is a part of it all coming into full fruition.
Hey, Dave,
and one of the things why this network is so important, because we're some of the only ones that talk about this stuff. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Did you pick up that call from 609?
I didn't see it.
609, you unmuted. Last four.
Hey, Giddy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Is that you, Scotty? Keith?
It's Roz. How you doing?
Roz, what's happening, bro?
Hey, I was just checking in. I know you wanted me to call in, but I also wanted to chime in on what you were talking about. And it's great that you use New York City as a good example, because the closings in the Bronx and in Washington Heights, and especially in Washington Heights,
it's
interesting because these were the banks that were making money wholesale off of the drug market. Washington Heights was one of the major cocaine hubs in New York City. Harlem was one of the main heroin hubs in New York City for a very long time. And actually, at certain times in American history, more drugs came through Harlem than anywhere else in the country. And you're talking during the Nicky Barnes, Frank Lucas, that whole era. So it's interesting now that they've sucked the community dry as far as getting all the illegal funds they could get. They're pulling out now. So I just find that to be quite interesting, because that's how the system is. It's a vampiric system. They take what they need and they leave the carcass for the vultures to pick, proverbially speaking. Now, the other aspect of that, too, is that New York is going through a big, this is probably the biggest move towards gentrification I've seen in my lifetime. And more black people have left New York City over the last 10 to 20 years in forever, probably since the Great Migration that brought a lot of blacks from the South to the North in the first place. And
Roz, hold that thought right there, Roz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hold that thought, because this is so important. This is why I wanted you to call in. You know, I just recently went back home, and it cost me $15 to get in the city.
Oh, yeah. It's expensive. Oh, yeah.
It cost me $15 to get into New York City from New Jersey.
And it cost and me over $20 when I go.
Right. And so they were talking to people, and I saw a news report and how that was going to be going up even more for people trying to just to get into Manhattan.
Yes.
And people are saying that just as Rod said, so many people are leaving because they're creating an economic desert.
Absolutely.
In the city.
That's
an exclusionary zone.
Yeah.
In the city. So, yeah, when you said that, I noticed that, Rod, big time, and I was really, really surprised when it cost me $15 to get into New York City. Man, I was like, what? You do the math on that for somebody that has to do that
regularly.
Regularly for work.
And they had carpooling laws, too, where at the during the rush hour times, that you are only allowed to go into the city like with a carpool, or you could get like extra fines for that, for going into the city, let's say by yourself, or it's just you and one other person, because of the sheer influx of vehicles that go into and out of the city. And the interesting part about it is that with the wholesale gentrification that's happening, all of the white folks that were on Long Island that had wanted the white picket fence and the white house and all of that stuff, they want to live closer to their jobs in the city, because New York now is like one of the main meccas for startup jobs. And a lot of these jobs pay top dollar, and a great many of the people who own these companies are either white, or they're white and they're Asian or Southeast Asian. So as a result, a lot of the people that moved to Long Island to escape the city when it was completely impoverished due to that white flight and the money following white people to Long Island, what's happening now is those people want to live in the city right where they work now, so they're taking over these areas. So one of the big reasons these banks are leaving these currently low-income areas is to complete the destruction of those communities, bring the property value down far enough that you know, other rich people, white people, Asians, whoever is trying to move back into the city can easily buy up those properties, and they jack the prices up so that the local residents can no longer afford to live there. And what do they have to do? Become homeless? If there's any openings, move to the projects or get out the city altogether. So that's what you're seeing, exactly what you said. They're creating economic dead zones. And once those dead zones are completely destroyed, those people have to move. The white people buy the properties at a very, very cheap rate. They build big buildings, skyscrapers, giant apartment buildings. That drives up the property value. Of course, the white people that are being attracted from Long Island, the money is going to follow them right back into those areas. So those Washington Heights is going to go from one of the worst areas in the country to live to one of the greatest areas that you can live, and it'll be nobody that looks like the original inhabitants that will be in that area. So that's exactly what you're seeing. And like you said, it's going to spread in other places. That's just the natural progression of things. But within all of those dynamics is the fact that, like you said, they're collapsing the economy at the same time. So there's going to be a whole lot of shifting and transitioning and racial dislocation that's going to take place. The question is, where is ultimately the droves and droves of low-income people that are being removed from these areas, economically, forcibly, racially dislocated people, where are they going to end up? Are they going to end up in FEMA camps? Are they going to all move down south and just live like what we see on the late night commercials that come on with impoverished American children? That's just, they live in pretty much similar lives to like the early, 1900s or something out there. And that's the question. Like, what's the ultimate thing? But you've talked about it. It's about enslavement, and this is how you go about it. But if most people can't perceive these realities and these truths, they end up caught up in the overwhelming tsunami of financial horror that comes with that. And it's going to create a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, yeah, I just wanted to jump in on that because I thought it was an important conversation. And, you told me to chime in, so I wanted to chime in, too. I didn't know if there was anything else you wanted to run by me, but I'll mute myself for now.
Yeah, that was because I knew that you were, you were there, and you can actually see it. And this is how this process is going on everywhere. And one of the things about the the economic neutering that the United States is going to go through is that this is just the start, and then the perpetual motion downward is going to be very, very swift. Soon you're going to see the banks leave the country, and they're going to go to other countries, because you have to remember something. The banks aren't nationalistic like they make people to be. They are business subjugation orientated. Where the profit is. Where the profit is. And it's not going to be here other than from a standpoint of conducting business. This is going to be the land of receivership. So you're going to have a different form of banking here. You're going to have collateralized banking here. And that basically means is that the banking situation here, in my opinion, is going to change in the next 10 to 15 years. It's not going to be what you were accustomed to and what we grew up on. The dynamics is going to be different. Much, much different. And not only are the banks leaving, the retail space is collapsing in the United States. There was an article that I posted today, and this all has to do with the quality of life. This is the common person's economy collapsing. There was an article from CNBC that we put in here. Excuse me. Losing my voice, everyone. That CNBC put in here, Dollar Tree to close up to 390 Family Dollar stores. Amidst reports of $2.3 billion loss, the company earnings beat the Wall Street estimate, which was heavily adjusted to exclude a $2.7 billion write-down, its Family Dollar business, among other charges. On adjustable bias, the Dollar Tree reported a profit of $1.93 per share during the 13th week ending in February. So Dollar Tree is to close up to 390 stores. Have you looked in the neighborhoods lately in the moderate to low income areas? What are you starting to see? Less and less stores. And I'm talking about significant stores, not even consumer stores. Those consumer stores are gone as well. But the staple goods stores are leaving. The things that you need to maintain your overall standard of living. Food. Medical. You don't even have hospitals. There's a medical flight. The necessity of good flight is there. And you're starting to see, even in the other neighborhoods as well, you're starting to see a lot of vacancy in the overall retail sector. This is not a part of a healthy economy. This is the overall symptoms of a depression. This is a symptom of a economic collapse. It's far beyond a depression. We're moving into something that's far worse than a depression or a collapse. We're moving into and moving towards and ultimately will stand upon an economic receivership, state of receivership. That's where all of this is really going to ultimately become. And this is how you have the untied states of America. But the impact.
Quick question.
Yeah, go ahead, Ross.
Sorry for interjecting. I just had a quick question, too. And this is just surrounding the fight for reparations for American descendants of enslaved Africans. And because this is seems to be taking on a major shift in the direction of some sort of reparations being publicly discussed on a wide forum via the internet. And if we have a completely corrupt government that is completely impoverished because of all of its debt that it's accumulated, how do you ask a government that is so in debt to actually pay reparations to the people they owe it to most, when some of those same people are part of the citizenry that are going to be drained dry regarding this receivership? So how do you petition the U.S. government to pay something they obviously don't have? And then on top of that, the country's in receivership. So those same enslaved Africans that are descendants of formerly enslaved Africans that are looking for those reparations are going to be part of the process of paying those reparations because they're citizens of the same country that they're asking for reparations from, who also owes the entire planet. So that's the question is, like, how does this get done? And when you tie that into everyone else, CARICOM and all the European countries that they're going to have to sue, these are all countries that are going to not be the same as we know it in the very near future. So how do you actually get what has been stolen from you when they've been so successful at compartmentalizing it in the private sector while collapsing the economy of the same people who are petitioning them for what that was properly due to them that was stolen from them? That's my question, and I'll mute myself.
Yeah, man. Roz, we're going to get ready to go to a commercial break, our last commercial break. When we come back, great pointed question. And I know Roz knows the answer, but it's a matter of the question for everyone for this show. And it's very, very true. And when we come back, we discuss that, and we need to reiterate that, because that's really what we're faced with. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Roz asked the question. As the debate about reparations gains more steam to receive reparations for those that was harmed through the overall development of this country by those that were exploited by that, not only during the enslavement years, but the extensions after that as well. And when you talk about reparations, the word reparations means to restore or repair. And I just hope, and Roz asked the question, said, wait a minute, how does that work when you have a nation that has a cumulative debt that is more than the GDP of the world? He didn't say that, but I added that because it really is. And I would say that it's no coincidence that reparations is going to be politicized and publicized much more than ever before when the country is in a debt that has never been, when it's in an unserviceable position of its debt. And one of the things is that for those that are seeking reparations, you have to be careful what you ask for, because reparation is meant to repair. And I'm going to tell you something. There is an amount of cash that can be given to you under these circumstances, and the way in which they would give it to you at the time that they would give it to you to where it would have any purchasing power of anything at all.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be bringing them back on, American Slaves Incorporated. I don't like the name, but I understand the legal reasoning for that designation, which they're actually trying to get in the census, you know, because anyway, in terms of reparations, again, so many people keep thinking about reparations. They thinking like a big fat check or something like that. And, you know, the conversations I've had on air and off air with those guys, they was like, first of all, legally, you can't, you know, through a court of law, you can't get reparations for pre-1865 slavery because it was legal, okay?
Yeah.
And then after 1865, after the passage of the 14th Amendment, when they made you a citizen, they then denied you the rights of citizenship by Jim Crow. On the Cows last night, they was doing book study, the sundown towns, and just how you were prevented, you know, just all sorts of constitutional violations, although, you know, the greater harm was the human rights violations. But we're speaking legal terms through a court, if we're going to go to a court, because, you know, I'm like Ross, you know, this Congress, this government, U.S. Gov, this corporation, man, they ain't finna go. They ain't finna tell the Federal Reserve to print up no bunch of notes to hand them out. And like you said, and we talked about on the show we did together, do you really want cash or do you want other forms to you know, make up for what you did, what was done to you? But again, they were talking about reparations based on Jim Crow, mass incarceration, which I call neo-slavery, and just all the ills, yeah. The redlining, you know, the discrimination that was illegal, but you did anyway, you know? So, you know, they're looking for things like, I'm no longer taxed. I have tax exemption for status. Me and my, you know, progeny. And we'll always have that tax-free status. To me, that's more of a measure of autonomy than if you gave me, you know, saying that you were going to give me anything else. That, I mean, being free from taxation, that's ultimate freedom right there, man. You know what I'm saying? So that's some of the tangible things that they have been talking about in terms of reparations. But we always allow the media to frame it as, oh, black people want a check. You know, they want a check. Yep. And we ourselves haven't really had a serious conversation about what reparations is, what's the best avenue to try to get it, which the American Slaves Incorporated, they say a lawsuit against the USA Inc. and the states and filing lawsuits against them for constitutional violations after the passage of the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, and you know, I would, and I'll get back to Rod's question. We got Brother Davis, I want to go there as well. You know, I think, and I'm going to hurry up so we can get to everyone. And one of the things about when slavery was legal, and one aspect of it, slavery was legal, but the payment was not equitable to what was gained from that. And so that's where another suit that could actually extend into the plantation, the legalization of plantation slavery, was from a measure of equability. Very, very, very important. So, but to Rod's question, I want to get this. You know, and it's no coincidence at this time that there would even be a discussion about it, because what this nation is the corporation, the citizenry, the corporation of itself is broke. But those that control the corporation have actually moved all of the wealth under their control. And that is under foundations and everything else. You can't sue them for it. And that's where they have the real wealth. So one of the things that has to be done is that it has to be something that is going to be something of intrinsic value that has to be given to repair that overall state. And that in itself, you got to hurry up and get that before it goes into receivership, and then legally place it under something else that can't be part and clawed back.
I also, Dave, real quick, I would add, in addition to their, you know, saying exemption from taxation, I would say exemption from the selective service. No drafting.
Scotty, Oh, man, Scotty, that's like one of the most important ones. Yeah, I'm telling you, Scotty, that well said, Scotty, because I didn't even think. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've never even, you know, even conceived or considered that. And that is powerful.
That was
so,
one of the demands, Rod, that came from the Black Panther Party in their 10-point platform. So I didn't just think of that. I know that's what they were demanding.
Yeah, that's critical. And so, and very, very important. So let me, Roz, we'll catch up on that as well. But let me get to, and the point of it is that Roz was saying was so critical, you know, this is, you know, no coincidence that now is that this is going to get publicized for this reason when everything is about to go haywire economically, because the displacement and the disenfranchisement of the everyday person in the United States is going to be severe. And then China and Russia are going to lay claims to different things. So, and I can see how that could be brokered out to where there may actually be deals that may be cut because of that. I'm serious on that, but I don't have time to elaborate. Let me go to Sister Davis or Brother Davis. Area code 803, Brother or Sister Davis, what say you? Welcome to Tando Radio Show.
Hey, Dave. Yes, it's Sister Davis. I was trying to get a hold of Mr. Davis. He must be in a no connection area, which he seems to sometimes be in. But I did want to mention a couple of things. I wanted to mention, like Scotty had said about the reparations, you know, with it just being financial, you know, that really might not make a hill of beans if you don't know with cash, right, or understand currency or understand spending. Because I've seen, in, you know, on Facebook and different articles on the internet where men usually are let out of prison because they've been in prison unjustly, you know, they were, you know, they went to jail unjustly, so they got this big settlement of a couple million dollars, and they just looking like they scratching their head, because you can imagine if they've been in jail for 30 years, they have not spent any type of currency for 30 years. They have no idea what to buy, how to buy it, and usually some family members just take over their finances and abuse them, and then you read about them, you know, dead in a couple of years, because in jail, all they basically did was barter. You know, they bought and sold things all the time, but it wasn't about cash. You know, you had to do X, Y, and Z to get cigarettes or to get Twinkies or whatever. Sort of like in the Shawshank Redemption, in that movie, how they bartered all their way through. And I just wanted to bring that up. Also on the internet, I had saw where they showed 40 acres and a mule, what that would look like nowadays. 40 acres, the way they had it, you know, classified on the illustration, is like 20 city blocks. And you know, they are not trying to give us 20 city blocks of anything that's going to equal 40 acres. Because I know what we're sitting on right here, which is not that type of acreage, and it's a lot of land. So people in their own mind don't even have, even if they gave somebody 40 acres and a mill, which they're not, because that would be prime, that would be the primest representation, reparations that they could get. I would love to get 40 acres and a mule. Give it to me. I would love it, even if it's up in the mountains of Tennessee somewhere, because that would be the richest type of barter, you know, that you could ask for. And I also wanted to mention, when you all were talking about the stores and stuff closing, because we are here in the South, and we do see, you know, it's like 20-something miles to the nearest Walmart, but it might be 10 miles to the local Family Dollar, Dollar General. And when you go in there, I mean, it looks like a mini Walmart. They have food and hot, well, they don't really have hot food that you can buy, but they have frozen foods and cookies and, you know, toiletries and detergents and, you know, maybe towels for your bathroom, you know, and for these people in this type of rural area, that's going to be a big deal for them. But also, yeah, I wanted to mention, when you were talking about preparation, you keyed on a little bit. The only basic, and us being kind of living this lifestyle that we're living right now, the best way of preparation is to do trial runs. I mean, you know, you can stock up all you want, water, cereal, canned goods, whatever, whatever. But when the lights go out, it's a whole new world, you know, and you almost have to role play. You have to role play, even if you don't have nothing, just still role play. It's kind of like Bird Box. You know, you're totally blind and you got to see your way around even though your eyes are open. And that role playing is the best preparation, whether or not you have a stockpile of anything. And I just kind of wanted to hit all those topics because you were kind of flying through them, and I just was each topic I had a little bit of something I wanted to say.
Well, that's so true, and I'm a firm believer in that, because that's the best form of training. I got Brother Davis there. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
This is a great show. I hope everybody's gotten something out of this, or take it with you and apply it. Application is where it's going to work to your favor. Now, for a look at the last week, remember all of the hoopla that was beyond the congresswoman's comment, the Muslim congresswoman's comment, and how they tried to say that it was anti-Semitic? Did you notice now Joe Biden threw his hat in the ring? Don't forget that he's a Jesuit. The Jesuits and the Zionists have been in cahoots for a while. This ain't something that's just happening, y'all. This is the world opening up the door. They're trying to slam it quick. That's why Biden literally has built a reputation as being a vice president. So he could literally open that door if he has to go in the presidency. But think of what happened under President Obama. He passed the National Authorization Defense Act. Please read it. It is the most immoral policy America has ever written on every level. And I mean every level. So if y'all think for 1 minute that this is just going to go away, it is not. And I'm going to tell you now, they're going to pump a lot of money into Biden. Thanks a lot, brothers and sisters. I hope you enjoy your weekend.
Yep, Brother Davis, Sister Davis, much love, much respect. Always well said. Before we go, let me just say this, and I need to read this really quickly to you all.
Hey, Brother Dave, can I get something
go ahead, Ross. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to bring up something else.
A little bit more. Go ahead, Ross.
Okay,
go ahead.
I so appreciate it, because I wanted to bring up something else regarding the reparations conversation, because I saw something on YouTube that was quite intriguing, and this has to do with the dissension that's being caused by the reparations discussion between black immigrants and American Africans. What somebody brought up, he was an African who was trying to deal with Tariq regarding some of his anti-black immigrant statements that he's been making in recent weeks. And he said, he made an interesting thing. He said, American Africans are seeking reparations in the form of what he termed fiat currency. He said Africans are trying to get their gold, their diamonds, all of the precious metals, and all of the actual assets that were stolen. So he said, you all are creating a dissension. Some of you American Africans are creating this dissension between Africans and American Africans. Now, when you get that worthless cash and we get back our resources, there's going to be an imbalance there. So as much as you think you don't need us, we need each other. And I said, wow, that's very interesting, because it ties into how do you ask a broke government who owes the entire planet money to pay you?
Right, money, not cash, money, right.
Exactly, and then the other aspect of that is, this is the first time that I know of that a people are suing the government for the in the country in which they're citizens of. Normally, reparations is from one government to another government. But this is the first time it's being presented in this way, where you have the citizens going to the government to get these reparation payouts, rather than it being the government fighting for their people that were done wrong. So this is just another dynamic of the discussion. How do you take train American Africans about what real money is with value? So when they're going for these reparations, they're going for something of value. Versus money or cash. With that, I'll mute myself. Thank you.
And that's my my contention is that we always have to get intrinsic value, because that's the only prosperity was lost, and you have to repair that by prosperity being gained, and that is very, very, very important.
Hey,
so
you
we'll,
know
we'll
some.
Cut, yes, that's Scotty.
Yeah, some thoughts I had when Ross was speaking. You know what Africans need us to do the most? And I'm going to be honest with y'all. I could actually, they could try to put a case on me for saying this. And I've been saying it in the past, but there is a statute against what I be saying when I be saying the best thing that African Americans can do for the rest of the world is to quit joining the U.S. Military and spreading white supremacy and being low paid mercenaries, killing folks and participating in the killing of folks, you know, for a government that you say, oh, you know what I'm saying? That's the best thing African Americans can do, is stop being mercenaries for white supremacy. Okay. And then the other thing, I heard somebody mention the lights are out. You know, when the lights go out, well, the U.S. government has caused the lights to go out in Venezuela. So that's an escalation right there.
Yep. And that was the first story that we had here. So, so important. And let me just, I want to read this, very important to go along. We're going to pick this up again, because that, the question, what Brother and Sister Davis said, what Scotty said, what Roz was speaking of, it needs its own show, and we'll pick that up on Monday for sure. Here's what I want you to listen to really quickly. This is from, this is out of Europe. And this is the 24 OR. And OR, the real term of OR in Latin for OR is gold. So they basically said 24 karat gold. Okay, so here's what one article said. Banks, the return of the gold standard. Gold in financial statements becomes money. Why is that so important? Because now, not too long ago, in 2014, at the G7 meetings, the bank said that cash was not considered money anymore, but paper investment. Now the standard is gold in financial statements becomes money. What is that saying? Remember, I said that we are going to be going to, now is going to be a measure of receivership. The different banking in the United States is going to be, is collateralized banking, meaning what collateral do you have? So when, if you ever were to try to get reparations, hopefully you'll be asking for collateral. And particularly the one that's very important. Land is extremely important. But land can become a measure of contention, because you can't put an acre of land in your pocket. What you really need is silver, gold, and real money to do to be a part of that. Here's why. Listen to this. What is happening on the world global? What's happening on the world's global reserves? On the global market, there is a Cold War climate for the first time in 50 years. You have to for this. You got to translate it to English. Central banks bought over 640 tons of gold bars last year, almost twice as much in 2017, and at the highest level since rise since 1971, when celebrity figurehead President Richard Nixon pictured closed the era of gold standard. Let me stop there. He didn't close the gold standard. What he did is he closed the gold window only. The gold standard throughout human history, the gold and silver standard throughout human history, has never been nullified. You can't. You can't. It's real money. It has real intrinsical value. It's been accepted for millions of years here on this planet and infinitely throughout the universe as a form of money. Just one person or one entity or one government, they can't stop that. They hate it so much, because the reason why they can't stop it is because they can't patent it. If you don't create something, you can't patent it. So it goes on. The interesting fact that European central banks, together with Asian ones, have been on the most aggressive path in their purchases fear of the euro crisis and of currency wars. In reality, all this is especially true in Europe. Behind the great maneuvers on gold reserves, there is not only the traditional protective shield against major risks, there is also the call for opportunity, a reminder of which few seem to know. Despite the appointment, is now a matter of a few weeks. Those that are missing the March 29th, 2019, the day of judgment for the Brexit, will also be the advent for the gold market. See, this is why getting news from outside the United States is so important. I'm going to have to touch on this with you all next week, great creator willing. But I want to just reemphasize this. In reality, this is what it said. In reality, and this is especially true in Europe, Europeans in Europe know this. Behind the great maneuvers on gold reserves, there is not only the traditional protective shields against major risks. It is also the call of opportunity. That's what's missed here with everyone here, because we are schooled that cash is money. We don't have a clue of what it really means. Because, see, Europeans understand from the theft of gold and everything else and the things that they've done throughout history that gold, and particularly silver, the precious metals, have been a measure of insurance and assurance. It's an insurance against risk, and it's an assurance that you'll be ready for every opportunity. Here is consumerism. Have got to change the way we think. So listen, everyone, we'll pick this back up. Much love, much respect. Thank you, Raj, for calling in. Pastor Keith, for chiming in, being a part. Brother and Sister Davis, Scotty, for what you do, and all of the listeners. It's never goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. I never say goodbye. I always like to say I'll see you later, because we're eternal. Much love and much respect. Before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Please become a member in BTR community, $24 a year. Otherwise, this network, this show, and all of the other shows will go dark. We will continue. But will you be able to engage in relationship with us? It's priceless. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.